And we shall now turn this evening to Psalm 9, and we shall consider the message of this psalm together. We notice the title of the psalm, To the Chief Musician upon Muth-Laban. There's a measure of uncertainty as to what Muth-Laban means, but it's generally taken to be a tune, one of the tunes of some other song that was used also for this psalm here. But the psalm is a psalm composed by David. It begins, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. This is the reason why we exist, to praise God. In the Garden of Eden, our first parents praised God as they should. And when we die and we go to heaven, again we will praise God as we should. But sadly in this world, as fallen human beings, we have a great tendency to praise ourselves. We're terribly distracted by earthly things and by people. We make people are gods, celebrities or whatever they might be, little gods, and we make ourselves a god. And conversion, in a sense, is a crucifixion of self, the great idol self, and a crucifixion of the world with all its gods, and a worshipping of the one true living God. Returning to worship Him. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Sometimes we praise God with our lips, with our bodies, in the posture of worship, but not with our heart. Son, daughter, give me thine heart. God wants heart worship, hearty worship, from the heart, arising out of love for Himself. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. What is it to praise God? Well, one of the things is to show forth His marvelous works. To show forth to whom? To show it to ourselves. To show it to our families. To show it to the church. To show it to the world. To show it to angels. To show it to all creation. To show to God Himself how great Thou art. Thy marvelous works, works of creation, works of providence, that David here is particularly referring to his own experiences, deliverances, wonderful acts of God. As yesterday I was reading the story of those miners who were caught in a mine and stuck in a mine in Chile for about 3 months or so in a very dangerous situation. But one of them was a Christian, and he organized the whole 33 of them every day to pray. They had two times of prayer at midday and then in the evening. And they prayed to the Lord, and the Lord wonderfully delivered them. Just one example of an amazing answer to prayer. Indeed, a whole sequence of amazing answers. But you don't have to be a miner in Chile to experience wonderful deliverances. Every one of us, in our own lives, can look at different times, different situations, where the Lord helps us beyond our expectation, where we were despairing, but the Lord reached down His hand into the fearful pit and into the miry clay and lifted us up and set our feet upon a rock and established our way. I will show forth all things. thy wondrous works. Came across a lovely quotation from Rutherford today. Rutherford said, I don't know which member of the Trinity I love most, the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit. He found himself perplexed to answer that question. When we think of the Father with his fatherly love, when we think of the Savior who loved us and died for us, when we think of the condescension of the Holy Spirit who has come to dwell in our hearts, to live in us, which member of the Trinity do we love most? They are all one. Wonderful works, and with my whole heart I will show forth thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. Glad, well, that's part of worship, isn't it? Not grumbling, moaning, groaning, complaining, sulky, sullen. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Sometimes we might think that it's very God-honoring to be sad. But we're so often in the Scriptures commanded to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. We have so much reason to rejoice. Unbelief will give us lots of reasons to be sad. The Bible gives us many reasons to be glad. I will be glad. God wants us to be glad. To rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Joyful praise. What's the sort of praise that we'll be giving to God in heaven? Will it be moaning praise and groaning praise? No, it will be joyful praise. What sort of praise were Adam and Eve giving to God that first Sabbath day? The day after they were created, joyfully praising their Creator, considering His marvelous works. And what sort of praise should we be giving? Joyful praise, rejoicing in the Lord. O Thou Most High, so high above all His creatures. And then verses 3 to 6 speak of these past deliverances. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. David had many enemies. There were the Philistines, Goliath, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Edomites, the Syrians, so many enemies. And even Israelites who turned to be his enemies. But God was with him. His enemies turned back. Every single one of them. The time came when they turned back and they ran away. They shall fall and perish at thy presence. That's the way it was with Goliath, wasn't it? He perished at the presence of the Lord. You come to fight me with a sword and with a spear and with a helmet and with a shield. I come to fight you in the name of the living God. And Goliath fell on his face before the presence of God. It was God that overcame Goliath, not David's cunning or his skill with the sling and the stone. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. And you and I have enemies too. Terrible enemies. Satan, the chief enemy. And people can be our enemies. And sin in our heart is our enemy. And yet, through the presence of the Lord, and by prayer, and by faith, we get the victory over the enemy. And they shall fall at thy presence. and Satan shall be bruised under your feet shortly. We think sometimes of Christ, don't we? Trampling upon Satan, his heel being bruised as Satan's head is crushed. But that's the case of God's people too. And our heel is bruised as we trample upon Satan's head, upon the heads of our enemies. We have victory through Christ, more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors through him who loved us. Verse 4, for thou maintainest my right and cause, thou sattest in the throne judging right. God stood for him, and God judged for him. Thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked, thou hast put out their name for ever and ever. Amalek's name, it was destroyed forever. Where are the Philistines today? Where are the Syrians today? Where are the Moabites and the Edomites? Their name is forgotten. They are gone. Their kingdoms have long since disappeared. All the enemies of God's people will be destroyed and their name put out. And thou, O enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities, their memorial has perished with them. O enemy, God destroys cities, and their memory is perished, and brings them to an end. Enemy, how dare you be an enemy of God? How dare you be an enemy of God's people? How foolish you are! The future is one of doom. Destruction, that's what will happen to you. Your city's destroyed and your memorial perish. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne unto judgment. God endures. God is there. God is the defender of his people. God is the secure refuge. I am the Lord, I change not. I'm there, always with you, always on your side. He shall endure forever. False gods will perish. Atheists will perish. Every false religion will perish. Heretics will perish. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever. He hath prepared his throne unto judgment. When you're downcast, when you feel your enemies are so numerous and getting the upper hand, lift up your eyes to the throne. See that there is one who rules, one who has control, one who is almighty. God reigns. Let the earth be glad. God reigns. Rejoice in your salvation. God is in control. God shall endure forever. And the enemies will be destroyed. And he shall judge the world in righteousness and minister judgment to the people in uprightness. When we come to the idea of God judging the world, we can find it very threatening. And yet it's meant to be a comfort for us, because God judges on behalf of his people. God has justified us. For Jesus' sake, it is Christ that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? That is God who justifies. None can condemn. Remember the story of the unjust judge and the widow who came day after day to the unjust judge asking for help. Eventually the judge said, I fear not God nor man, and yet I will give to this woman what she's asking, lest she weary me by her continual coming. And then Jesus adds, shall not God avenge his own elect who cry unto him day and night? Yea, I say unto you, he shall avenge them speedily. Speedily. God avenges his people. God destroys their enemies. Who dare be an enemy of God or of his people? God's judging is a great encouragement to us because he judges on behalf of us. He delivers us and he destroys our enemies. Christ is our righteousness. Verse 9 is a great verse. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. We all have our times of trouble, but there's a refuge. There's a refuge to run to. There's a hiding place. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt from trouble set me free. Thou with songs of deliverance about shalt compass me. We have a hiding place. Do you know it? Do you know what it is to run to it? A refuge. God is our refuge. A place of safety. When there's danger all around, a place of security. The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, the downtrodden, those who feel weak, those who feel faint and failing. A refuge in times of trouble. But those who do not have Christ, where do they go in their time of trouble? They have no refuge. Verse 10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. They that know thy name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. How? How can a name be a tower? A name reveals a person. And the name tells us about the person who is the strong tower. They that know thy name. Do we know his name? His name, he revealed it to Moses. I am that I am. I am the Savior of my people. I am the Deliverer. I am the Mighty God. I am the Covenant-keeping God. The promises, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He makes promises and he keeps them. He loves his people and he ensures their safety. They that know thy name. His name is a rock. His name is a tower. His name encourages our faith. The almighty, powerful, covenant-keeping, loving God. Verse 11. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. The Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Remember how David took the Ark of the Covenant up from the house of Obed-Edom to his own house in Jerusalem, to Zion. And there he made a tent for it. And he placed the Ark there in Mount Zion, in the citadel of Zion, David's dwelling place. And that's why the scripture says that the gates of Zion God desires above all the dwelling places of Jacob. Why the gates of Zion? Because that's where the ark is. That's where the presence of the Lord is. That's where the people of God came to worship. And God delights in the gatherings of his people more than all the dwellings of Jacob. And that's why we're to come to church to worship him. We can worship him at home. And God delights in all the dwellings of Jacob, but he delights in the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. And he wants us to draw near to him and to come into his house and to worship him there with the Lord's people. And he says, where the two or three are gathered together, there am I. There am I. Sing praises to the Lord which dwells in Zion, particularly in Zion. Declare among the people, among God's people, his doings. Verse 12, when he maketh inquisition for blood, the avenger of blood, he remembereth his people. He will bring revenge upon their enemies. The Lord will judge on behalf of his people. He avenges blood. The murderer might think that he will get off, but he will not. He makes inquisition for blood. He remembers his people. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. We might be nothing. We might be nobodies, just humble people. And yet, the Lord will vindicate us. He will destroy our enemies. Verse 13, have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me, thou that liftest me up from the gates of death. There are times in our lives when we can be at the very gates of death. But the Lord lifts us up and restores us, protects us, delivers us. David knew many death experiences in his own life, but he also knew deliverances. God delivers his people. Verse 14, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in my salvation. Zion, where God is worshipped, where God dwells, the daughter of Zion, God's people, the church. I will show forth all thy praise in the gates of thy people, in the gates of her gathering together. I will rejoice in my salvation. Hell deserving sinners, deserving the pit, but rejoicing in the Lord. Verse 15. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they have hid is their foot taken. Amazing how the Lord turns back the plans of the wicked upon themselves. They plan to dig pits to catch the righteous. And they plan to set snares and nets to catch them. But they themselves fall into their own pits. Those who fight against God's church are fighting a losing battle. Their very sword turns upon themselves. Verse 16, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked are snared in the work of his own hands. The righteous and the wicked, the Lord's people and those who follow Satan. The Lord is known by his judgment. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Higgaion. Meditate. That's what it means. Meditate. Think on this. On the difference between the righteous and the wicked. On the way God protects his people and God destroys their enemies. Selah, pause. Meditate and pause and consider God our Savior God our high tower, God our refuge, God our deliverer. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Whenever I read this verse, I think of an old woman that I knew many, many years ago. She was dying. She seemed to go into a terrible depression. And all she could say was, "The wicked shall be turned into hell." I found it very difficult. Remember, I didn't know the woman well, but I remember trying to encourage her, pointing to other bits in the psalm, even the following verse. "The needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever." She would listen, and then she would come back to the same words. "The wicked shall be turned into hell." I don't know, was she a Christian? She was a professing Christian, but maybe she wasn't really a Christian. Or maybe she was, and this was just a terrible trial that the Lord had brought upon her before the end. We don't know what the Lord is doing. We know that God is good, and God will only do what is good. Some people go through very strange experiences. And sometimes the mind itself can play terrible tricks, with senile dementia coming on, and the memory going, and decay in the brain, and problems in the, even in the very head, and the chemicals in the body, and so on. All these things are so complicated. But the wicked shall certainly be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God. Some people say, "Well, what about the heathen that have never heard the gospel?" Well, there is only one Savior. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And if they don't have the one Savior, they're going to perish. For there is none other name given under heaven among men through whom we must be saved. Only one name that can save. That's why we send out missionaries to the darkest parts of the world, because they must hear the name of Jesus to be saved. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. Sometimes it seems that the needy are forgotten for a little time, but not always. When the poor and the needy seek water and have none, I, the Lord, will open streams in the desert. Even in the desert, where there is no water, I will give them pools of water. When the poor and the needy call upon Him, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the needy, for God is the God who loves to supply their needs. The needy shall not always be forgotten. The devil tells them they're forgotten. The world tells them they're forgotten. Where's your God now? But they shall not always be forgotten. And the expectation of the poor shall not perish. Remember how God delivered Daniel. Delivered the men cast into the burning fiery furnace. The expectation of the poor shall not perish. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. We live in a day when governments are arrayed against the Christian church, the believing part, the Bible-accepting part of the church. When blasphemers of every kind blaspheme the church and God, the God of the church. We live in a day when there are many arrogant atheists and many followers of false religion and heretics within the church who are more the children of the devil than those who are outside. Let not man prevail. Arise, O Lord. Awake. Why dost thou sleep? How dare we say such things only because the scripture tells us that we can say them. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days. He that keeps Israel, he slumbers not nor sleeps. God will awake. And God will arise in his own time, never a second too late. But God's not in a rush or a panic like us. He knows the end from the beginning. Arise, O Lord. Let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but. May the nations, may the people of the world remember that they are only men, frail man, dying man. And may the fear of the Lord come down upon the whole world. Put them in fear, O Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, isn't it? And those that fear thee, the poor and the needy, thou wilt deliver. So this is a psalm that pictures for us all these enemies against God's people. And God is our refuge. And God will endure forever. And he will deliver from our oppressors, whoever they might be. Our safety, our security, our salvation is in the Lord.